This morning, we are continuing our series in Deuteronomy. It's been really, I've really loved this. I must say that in the past, when I have sat down to read the Bible, you know, I'm going to read the Bible from start to finish. You know, you read through Genesis and then you get to about halfway through Exodus and then you're like, this is getting difficult. And then you get to Leviticus and Numbers and you're just like, oh, I'm going to flick through to the New Testament. But it's been really, looking at some of the videos that we've been watching, and also then just preparing for today. I must say that I've been learning a lot. So I'm looking forward to today. We are going to watch the video, but I'm going to just share some thoughts before the video, and then just a few reflections at the end. So Deuteronomy, just as a bit of a recap, I know also that there's been, people have been away on holidays, people have been unwell. So what is Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. The name Deuteronomy actually means second law. So it's not that it's a different law, it's just the second time that the law is being spoken. So it's spoken by Moses. He's revisiting and explaining the laws to the Israelites that he initially received on Mount Sinai in Exodus, and he is helping the new generation understand what it really means to live as God's people. So the story, so basically Moses is speaking to the Israelites, right? They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And they're about to enter into the promised land. The previous generation, the generation that had been freed from slavery in Egypt, they grumbled and grizzled and were not allowed into the promised land. But the next generation is now preparing to enter. But Moses isn't going to be going with them. And so he gathers them together. And he speaks to them. He reminds them about what God has done for them. He reflects on the mistakes that they've made, but he also urges them to stay faithful as they step into the future. So over the last few weeks, we have looked at various chapters from Deuteronomy chapters 1 to 11. So basically, in those first 11 chapters, we've got Moses, again, reminding them of kind of how they got to where they were, reminding them that they actually didn't trust God, despite the fact that he had been with them and had allowed them to have amazing victories. Then he challenges the people. So this is again the first kind of 11 chapters. He challenges the people to trust, obey, and to love God. And one of the most significant verses in the whole Bible comes in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And so Moses is warning them not to forget God once life gets easier in the promised land. And he calls them, again, to remember what God has done for them. So in these first 11 chapters, Moses is reminding the people that it's not just about the rules, it's about the relationship. So God rescued them, he chose them, and he wants them to live in a way that reflects his goodness. So that's the first 11 chapters of Deuteronomy. And then we get to what we're looking at today, which is Deuteronomy chapters 12 to 26, where Moses basically outlines a big, long list of laws and instructions for the people that will help them to live well in the promised land. And some of the laws are familiar to them, because they come from earlier on, but others are new laws, or they've been adapted for life in a settled land rather than in the wilderness. So as we move to the video, as you watch and as you listen to the sermon today, I just ask you to reflect on this particular question, which is, what kind of community is God calling us to build today? So how can we live with justice and with compassion in our community, in our workplaces, in our church? So what does that look like? And how can our faith shape the way that that we treat others so that we truly stand out for better. So I encourage you to think through, just reflect on those points as you watch the video. And as I said, at the end, I'll come back and share a few final thoughts.
Paul uses a helpful analogy in Galatians 3 and 4, in which he compares the law to a tutor or guardian, comparing the Old Testament to our childhood with maturity coming in Jesus. And he explains that while we are children, we are subject to the authority of our tutors. But once we reach adulthood, that changes. Now, I never had a home tutor, but I think that the illustration still works as I think back to my experience of school. And when I was at school, there were all kinds of rules and even punishments that I was under that no longer apply to me. I no longer have to worry about homework or detention or school rules. And Paul tells us that a similar dynamic is at work as we move from the old covenant, the law, to the new covenant in Jesus. And yet, the things that I learned at school have helped me to understand and live life as a grown-up. I still use the things that I learned in English or maths or history, and I've come to realise that many of the rules were there for our own good. And so while my teachers can no longer punish me for things like fighting or bullying, I still try not to do them. And so it is with the law. While it no longer has any authority over us as Christians, it is, as Paul puts it elsewhere, something holy, righteous and good, something we can learn from. And most importantly of all, it reveals God to us. It shows us his character. It unpacks what he loves and he hates. It shows us the importance of living life according to his ways and something of what that looks like. And that is priceless. This all means that in many ways, the question we tend to ask, am I still bound by this command, is the wrong question. Instead, we should be asking, what does it teach me about God and what it means to be his people? And if we ask that question, then Deuteronomy 12 to 26 immediately begins to have relevance for us. Firstly, if you read through the whole section, you'll find all kinds of themes and priorities. So many scholars point out that the basic outline of these chapters seems to loosely follow the order of the Ten Commandments. And so, once again, we find the first priority of our relationship with God and our worship emphasized, as it has been throughout the book. But then, like the Ten Commandments themselves, the focus moves on to our relationships with each other and all the various details of life. And in that level of detail, we see immediately that God is not a distant up there kind of God, but that he cares about every aspect and part of our lives, down to what we eat or what we wear. How gloriously different from so many religions that God cares about the whole of our lives, Monday to Saturday as well as Sunday, secular things as well as church stuff. Not only that, he cares about all of us. Most ancient religions were focused on the rich, the privileged, the powerful. And Deuteronomy does talk about them. Chapter 17 has lots of instructions for future kings of Israel to follow. But it also talks about supporting the poor. It includes a law to protect foreign women captured in war. And it gives specific instructions to rich employers to make sure that they don't exploit their workers. How wonderful is that?
I guess wanted to close by again just, you know, sharing a few thoughts. If you have time perhaps this week and you want to flick through Deuteronomy 12 to 26, I really do encourage you to do so. Again, just thinking again that question, like, why is it here? As our friend asked the question, like, what's the point of those chapters of Deuteronomy for us? And I think it is that kind of high level, like, there are some very specific things there that perhaps don't apply to us, but the principles hold, right? And if you read Deuteronomy 12 to 26, like those, the first few chapters within that section, there's a big focus on worship, That's first and foremost, and that's really critical for us, I think. But also not just worship, you know, in terms of rituals, right, but actually practical. And there's a strong sense there of the need for us to be acting on our faith and caring for the poor, for example, which our friend talked about. The other thing is there's a strong focus on leadership, like what makes a good leader. And, you know, Israel's elders and the priests and the kings, they were all accountable to God's laws and to the prophets. And unlike many nations where leaders acted as if they were above the law, Israel's leaders were subject to the same rules and they were held accountable. So that's quite different. Again, this is setting up a society that's different to all the societies that are around. And then the last probably five or six chapters of that section cover, you know, everyday life, family, business, courts, community justice. There's a strong emphasis there on caring for widows, for orphans, for immigrants, you know, vulnerable groups. So again, I just encourage you as we finish up today, I ask again that question, what kind of community is God calling us to build today? And what is he calling you to do today in being part of that? Let me pray to finish up. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift that is for us and to us. We thank you that you have called us to live differently. Lord, we ask that you would help us to worship you with our whole hearts, not just in word, but through the way that we live each day. And Father, we pray that you would help us to see people in our community who are vulnerable, and that you would encourage us and prompt us to respond. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us, that you would teach us to live with integrity, to live with kindness, to live with courage, and to stand up for what is right, even when that's hard for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help to shape us into a community that reflects your love and your holiness, so that through us, other people might see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.